Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's Raising Expectations show. We always want you to know we never take for granted the pleasure and the privilege of having you in the audience and listening to the people that we bring. So thank you so much for being with us tonight. I want to share right off as we begin tonight something I don't normally do, but people have said, Joe, show us a couple of times. So I have a new sign for you tonight. Now, this is going to be exciting. We are a group that is paid for by all of you. It's the donations that you all give that keep us on the air. And I'm going to give you the address to begin the program tonight, just so you can see. Not bad artwork, huh? I tell you what, Fox News has contacted me. They want my help. If you look right here, you'll find it at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And there's a donation tab there. That's all I'm going to say. I never was good. Neither was Paul as pastors at raising funds. But everything that you all have given is such a blessing to us and such a help. And I want to say, we want to say thank you very much. We got a great team of co-hosts on Raising Expectations, as you know. We have Dr. Paul Hall, who is a retired pastor and a theologian who theologues today. We have a brand new word. It's called theologue. And every day, Paul theologues through life and blesses people. And chases Pismo. We'll tell you more about that some other time. Also, we have with us Commander Rob and his wife, Nancy Hansen. Nancy's not with us tonight, but Commander Rob is. Rob is a former Top Gun pilot. He's a Top Gun trainer. He flew the F-14 jet fighter plane and landed on the top of aircraft carriers, which every time I watch the History Channel, I'm amazed, Rob, at the way you guys did that. Thank you for your service to our country. We sure do appreciate and all that you've done, Rob. And we're praying that Nancy feels better tonight, too. That'd be great.
Me too.
Yeah, you too. That's right. Yeah. Are you cooking for her? We won't go there because that's right. You got the chicken. That worked out good. Anybody got the chicken for her. All right. And we also have two very special people. As you know, we have Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. Craig is a trauma surgeon, and Stephanie, his wife, is a health and wellness coach known across the nation, and we just say around the world, both of them, they're going to take care of you. She'll keep you healthy, and he's there when you need him anytime. Both love the Lord. All of our team are people of great faith, and we thank God for what he does in our lives, and we pray that you'll be encouraged to see what he can do in your life. All right, quickly now, tonight, just going to open up our program, and I'm going to put it out there. We have two very special guests coming to us tonight. As you know, we cover the state of Georgia, the state of Arizona, California, North and South. And tonight we have guests from the state of Texas. We have, as you've been seeing all week, Cliff, Pastor Cliff and Jeannie Poe. And Cliff has pastored in a couple of states, and Jeannie, his wife, they're both known together for the way they love and care for people, the way he teaches. And they also are part of a wonderful seminar, which is all over the nation, on helping in relationships. And not only relationships, husbands and wife, but actually getting to know yourself also, who you are. They're two of God's finest. And I'm not just raising the flag for them, but I'm pretty darn proud of them because Jeannie's my sister and Cliff is my brother-in-law. And so he's a great guy, too. You're going to love meeting him. So I'm going to introduce him. Let's all bring them on right now. We're going to open this up, and I'm going to just let them begin. I'm going to share what they're talking about. We're going to be looking at forgiveness and many different questions tonight. We're going to have a great time together. All right. Let's welcome Cliff and Jeannie Poe, all the way from Woodlands, Texas. Glad you're with us tonight. All right.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here.
Yeah, there you are.
Look forward to doing this with you guys again.
Hey, man, this is going to be great. And we're excited to hear what you've done. Tell us a little bit about Atlanta. Get us started with that, with the conference that you did and the way that goes. And then maybe lead into what you both do. We're excited to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we did finish a conference a couple of weeks ago in Atlanta. It's been our largest one since COVID. So we feel like things are coming back. People are seeking help with their relationships, I think, more than I've ever experienced. We're getting a lot of calls now to work with people individually and also as couples. And I think that's due to everything that's happened living in the pressure cooker that COVID has been, has really put a strain on relationships. And so that's one of the reasons I think we're excited to talk tonight about what I think is one of the best tools for life and relationships, single, married, whatever, and that is forgiveness. I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate it?
Probably a 9.8.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right up there. It's at the top for sure. So we want to get you guys to dialogue with us. We have a lot of questions we want to ask and discuss and just explore this whole topic of forgiveness whenever you're ready to jump in.
All right. Why don't you bring that first question on and roll it out to us? This is going to be fun.
Well, this first one's kind of our health people may be interested and have some real insight on this one. What benefits does forgiveness bring? Or I guess the other way to ask that is, what does anger, bitterness, or resentment do to you as a person and to your body, to your health, to your, not only to your psyche, but to your well-being physically? Anybody got a...
I'll let my better half go first, ladies first.
Okay, well, first of all, you can just see it on someone. You can almost feel it. You know, have you seen someone that's bitter and their lips are all pursed and just, you know, ugh. But I mean, it makes everything off. Craig probably knows more than I do, but cortisol spikes in your body, you're negative, the way you filter life, you don't sleep well, you don't have energy. Like it's this horrible revolving yuck. That's all I have. It's really
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, so
she,
for sure.
She actually went through the medical. I'll go through the psyche, right? So as a surgeon, that kind of seems awkward, but I equate it to carrying a backpack full of rocks. So you can carry this disdain, which was a word used by my ex towards me for a long time. And you carry that backpack until you finally just let it go, right? So, and sometimes maybe you just need to pull a pebble out and then go, okay, that's so much lighter. And then there's more pebbles and bigger rocks. But otherwise you just carry that around and you don't realize you're carrying it around until you take it off. So it's just kind of an unknown entity until you finally realize, wow, I'm free of this horrible thing that I carried around for so long. Mm-hmm.
Man. That reminded me of the movie The Mission from way back. Did you ever see the movie The Mission?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, where he cut the bag off his back, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, I think of the program Biggest Loser, where they're losing weight, right? Yeah. And there's an episode where they have to go over these sand dunes, and they start with a backpack of all the weight they've lost. And they hit the first dune, and they get to the top of a dumpster, and they get to drop the amount of weight they lost the first week. And then they go down and they go back up and they get to drop the next week's weight loss. And they realize, oh my God, that they start crying that how hard was this backpack I carried? Because, and I'll tell you, most of that weight gain was from their eating to satisfy things they've either been, I mean, they're depressed because part of that may be not forgiving. So the person's huge.
Well, you know what you and Stephanie both said, we've often remarked when we work with people through our seminars and they go through forgiveness and dumping the baggage, the women look like they've had a facelift. Mm-hmm. You know, you were talking about their purse lift. They literally look like they've had a facelift. And the men stand tall. Their shoulders are up again.
Yeah.
So it's very physically evident what the release of bitterness and resentment can do. Mayo Clinic says this, that it gives, there's plenty of benefits for health, including improved relationships, decreased anxiety and stress, lower blood pressure, lower risk of depression, stronger immune and heart health. And it's medically and physically proven that forgiveness works for you.
Amen. So why do we have such a hard time with it?
Yeah.
So,
right.
Right.
I think there's also a couple of aspects when it comes to forgiveness. I remember when I was growing up in the Lutheran church, every Sunday, you know, the pastor would stand up in front of the entire congregation and say, I hereby forgive you all of your sins, which is great. But unfortunately, a lot of people, actually all people, are still sinners. And we have to remember not just forgiving others, but we also need to learn how to forgive ourselves for our sinful, imperfect nature. We are all going to be, we all fall short of the glory of God. That's a given. And that's something that it's a hard thing to live with, because every day, as most of us try our best to do our best and to forgive others, well, we got that human nature thing going on. And then, you know, sometimes there's just people that piss us off. And it's really hard to forgive people who do things to us in a negative way, whether it's, you know, step on us to move up the corporate ladder or get promoted over you or something like that. But I think that's one of the key points that Jesus had, was that, you got to forgive because your soul depends on it. Your soul needs to be cleansed of all of that imperfection, whether it comes from others or whether it comes from yourself. I just finished The Divine Comedy by Dante. I got a B on the final, but that's okay because I'm old, from Hillsdale College. And I think he really, it's a great, great book. I mean, between the Inferno, Purgatorio, and Paradiso, it really lays out back, you know, 700 years ago, what Dante Alighieri had been going through. And he had a different kind of midlife crisis, I guess, but it was mostly a religious thing. And I think that's where, you know, he learned about, a lot of things, love primarily, which is, I think, what God wants all of us to do. And I think forgiveness is a big part of that love that Christ taught us. And
so how would we define it
so often?
How would we define forgiveness? What is it? Anybody have a definition?
I think for me it was like an old prayer, Our Father, right? Forgive us who trespass against us. It's easy to recite, but the reality is you're doing what Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, right? In the like, what are the two of all the commandments? What are the greatest? And it's like, love God and love thy neighbor, which includes your enemies, which is really hard for me, to be honest. Because they're enemies for a reason, right? So you got to find a way to just like look at them as humans and say, right, a devil on their back that no one can see, and they're created in God's image and they're perfect, but I don't see it that way. I need to. And so that's not an easy thing to do.
No. I heard it once.
If you can actually like just say they're perfectly built, they've just got something on their back that's stabbing and they can't see. And if you think that way, maybe it helps. But
yeah. I once heard it's quoted that forgiveness is giving up all hope of a better past.
Right. Oh, by the way, that was by the great theologian Lily Tomlin.
Tomlin.
Is that when she was on the big chair?
She was in my philosophy class for sure.
Yeah.
giving up hope of a better past. And you know, just think about how much time people spend regretting or wishing things were different, or, you know, and they just, if they could forgive others and forgive themselves and just get past the past. And yeah, it's incredibly freeing when we can do that.
You know, Rob, go ahead. One thought that Rob, a lot of stories, the war stories and things that we've shared. Of course, I love World War II, but when you both were saying that, Rob and Tank, I couldn't help get over my son, John, being a history nut and teacher. He sends me the World War II things that can get on the internet, right, guys and ladies? I don't know if you watch this, but the way in the South Pacific, American soldiers and Japanese soldiers come together now, scores of years later, and they'll go to Iwo Jima side by side and they'll pray together. And they'll weep together because they have forgiven. They've dropped the pack of rocks. They know now what it's about and who they are. And it's really earth shattering what they did. And like the captain of the Indianapolis, when he was, the submarine captain who sank the Indianapolis, carrying, you know, the whole story, and how he really loved this captain and what he had to go through. So I think it's true what you're saying. I really hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
So do you have to forgive or understand in order to forgive? Do you have to forget it, or do you have to understand, or do you just forgive?
Well, there's always situations. A lot of times it's male and female relations who say, I forgive you, but I can't forget, or exactly. I forgive, but can't forget. But I was going to bring up that one of our guests about 9 months ago, Randy Cunningham, who was America's ace, Navy ace in Vietnam, he's kind of done the same thing with the Vietnamese. Every year or so, he'll go to Vietnam and meet up with the former North Vietnamese pilots that he was flying against, and in many cases may have shot down and they survived, or they had shot down other Americans and ended up being, you know, in the Hilton, as they called it, the Hanoi Hilton. That's one means, I think, of forgiving, is meeting those, you know, love your enemies and so forth. And I always, whenever I think of an issue involving forgiveness, I have to go back to the cross when Christ said, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think those words are among the most profound in the entire Bible. And I think it's one of the greatest lessons for all of us to understand, is that we have to understand that a lot of people that are out there, unfortunately, way too many, don't know what they do. And they don't know how mean, evil, bad they really are, or how they treat other people. And so that's what makes the forgiveness part such a challenge.
Well, it's like the question Jeannie asked, exactly. Do you have to understand why they hurt you in order to forgive them? No, because oftentimes they don't even understand.
That's right.
Yeah. So, no, you don't. You don't have to understand.
Isn't forgiveness really? It's more for us than it is for them, right? It's releasing whatever we're holding on to.
Mm-hmm. It is correct. Forgiveness is for you. Do you have to forgive that person in person? Do you have to go up to them and say, "Hey, I've got to forgive you because blah 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 blah."
Well, that depends on whether you believe in the big book and the Alcoholics Anonymous, where one of the big deals is you have to confront somebody that you've hurt or wronged and go face to face with them and tell them that you're sorry, that you're wronged. But, well, that's just my two cents worth.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing. Forgiveness is a very tough thing.
Yes, and sometimes that person is no longer living or in your life or close to you, and therefore forgiving them in person has absolutely no value whatsoever.
Well, so it's impossible. Impossible at some point.
But at that point, let's say that person's no longer in your life, or that person is passed or deceased, and you have not forgiven them, you still are carrying all of that, and actually you're moving forward in life with your eyes in the back of your head. Man. So your historical past is now telling your future and your present self what to do. Mm-hmm. So it's like this giant megaphone in your head. Mm-hmm. And by choosing, I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit. It is a choice. And ask you another question. do you have to, does forgiveness mean you have to reconcile with that person?
Well, isn't that what forgiveness is really all about? I mean, reconciliation, I'm reminded of the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission after Nelson Mandela became president, and they had, you know, the blacks that were abused by the white nationalist party and everything like that. And they were able to peacefully come to a reconciliation. Well, that was like, I don't know, 20 some years ago. Unfortunately, things aren't really going that well there now. Reconciling is also a two-way street. I mean, can you as an individual reconcile? And then can they reconcile back at you? I mean, that's...
So do you have to forgive them if forgiveness is for you?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Can
you say that again?
If forgiveness is for you, do you have to necessarily reconcile with that individual? Let me give you a scenario to go with that. Let's say that you're in a relationship, in a marriage, and one of you is extremely physically abusive, and you move yourself from that. You still forgive that person because forgiveness is for you. But do you, this is where you put up boundaries. In other words, this is where you say, you're not a safe individual for me to be around. Therefore, reconciliation may be down the path, but at this point in time in my life, you're a little on the dangerous side. Does that make sense? You can forgive because forgiveness is for you. And once you step out of that equation, you're no longer carrying the rocks. You're no longer in shackles. You're no longer torn down by this particular individual or circumstances in which you were.
I believe, for what it's worth, that, again, forgiveness is a two-way street. So I may respectfully differ because, yes, forgiveness may be for you. But again, the person on the receiving end of your forgiveness, again, depending on how they react and respond, may or may not get the forgiveness thing on their end. And, you know, you have no control over what another person will think or do. So, yeah, on the one hand, forgiveness is for us, but there has to be somebody on the other end that you're forgiving. And whether they receive the forgiveness and understand it or not is, you don't have any control over that. That's up to them.
So let me give you sort of a testimonial experience in our own marriage. We'd been married around 17 years, and I hurt Jeannie very deeply. And so we were struggling because she wanted to forgive me, but, you know, reconciliation, trusting, those kind of things were not easy to do. They weren't automatic. Mm-hmm. So at one point, I said to her, it's enough that you forgive me. If you will give me until our 20th anniversary, I will have earned your trust again. So trust and forgiveness are
two different things.
Even in a marriage, you cannot trust someone who's hurt you deeply, if your spouse has hurt you, until they re-earn that trust, until they're, you know, they show that what we would call the fruit of repentance, and they earn the trust again. So you don't have to reconcile, particularly with a dangerous person who's, you know, harmful or destructive to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not have to trust the person to forgive them. Those are two different things. So, Craig, Craig's wanted to say something.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand what Rob's saying, but I think if you make forgiveness conditional, it's not forgiveness.
Right.
Because if they don't meet your demands, then screw you, I don't forgive you. So it's not, to me, it's a gift. And there's, when you, a true gift is you give something to somebody with absolutely nothing expected in return. Otherwise, it's not a gift.
So and you don't have to walk up
to. Forgiveness is, to me, it's a gift because I'm going to take my pride away and I'm going to say, I understand I'm an empath, where you came from and why you did what you did. Don't like it, but I forgive you and you don't need to say anything else or do anything else. Otherwise, if it were conditional, then you're not going to fully forgive. So you can still carry a couple more pounds in your backpack that you didn't need to do.
Right. Why is Stephanie smiling so much here?
I have a question.
I'm afraid.
Sorry. No, but no.
I'm in California and she's in Georgia.
So. I need relationship coaching. It's not about my marriage at the risk of like, we're the only two married couples on here right now. I actually had a situation last week and the person apologized to me twice in a conversation. I'm sorry, but blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, but blah, blah, blah. And I sat there. How would you interpret that? What do you do with that? Because to me, that is not an apology.
So we're the receiver.
Are they biblically grounded?
They are biblically grounded. They're actually a great human. And I would say we are close friends. So what, as the receiver of an apology that's sort of not an apology.
Conditional.
What do you do with that?
Well, that depends on the blah, blah, blah part, right?
I would say you forgive that person anyway, because even though that's not a real apology to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nothing about you. It's all about them.
So if you want to be free of any resentments or bitterness toward them, then certainly let it go. Forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great if Rob scratched my car with keyed my car because he didn't like me or didn't like what I said. And
so I said,
it would be great if then he then came back to me later and said, Cliff, I'm really sorry. I want to buy you a brand new pickup. Because I'm so sorry. Well, that'd be great. It would be so easy to forgive him, wouldn't it? But if he never makes an apology or a real apology, I'm going to just live in anger and bitterness unless I
can get my phone.
So
I have to. There's a there's something from Mother Teresa, and there's a quote, and I can't. I'm going to try to look it up in a minute, but it all had to do with, if somebody does something bad to you, forgive them. If something bad happens to you, forgive them. This and that. But give me a minute. You guys, keep talking.
Well, I'd like for Paul, I want Paul to theologue a little bit.
Yeah, come on, theologue.
I would like to ask Paul, if you don't forgive others, will God forgive you?
That's a good question. Before I answer that, I'd just like to go on the record to say I can't relate to anything y'all are talking about. I've never been hurt by anyone. I've never hurt anyone. I've just lived in a remarkable life to where it's just all gone well.
And you're in denial.
Yeah. No.
Your nose just hit the screen.
When I say that, it speaks to a point of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There is so, I want to sound like a preacher now. There is so much hypocrisy in the way that we practice our faith in Christ. Forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It's always an act of grace. It's nothing we deserve. It's always laid out there. Now, the question Cliff asked was, if we don't forgive others, will God forgive us? And that's a good question. The problem with that, if you just take that at face value and not put it in context, it turns our salvation into how well we perform based on how righteous we are and the righteous acts that we extend to other people. And that's not it at all. I think much of what Jesus was teaching his disciples at that point about prayer, was he not? And he was talking about if I can remember correctly, our Father who art in heaven, he said, when you pray this way and forgive us our debts as we forgive, our debtors or trespassers. By the way, definition of forgiveness is, one of them is to cancel a debt, that we live debt free in terms of our sin and our brokenness. So when I go back to the hypocrisy, it's really bizarre. Stop to think about that. If you ask forgiveness while you're withholding it from someone else, that's hypocritical. That's bizarre to stop to think about that. If we've received so much from God so freely through the sacrifice of Christ, on the cross for us, and to live in that and to be able to extend that to others, realizing that our bag was so full of sin and brokenness, and God forgave that. Let me push the question back to you, Cliff. Okay, the question is: we talked about this a little bit earlier about can you forgive and forget? Does God really forget our sins? Does He forget them, or does He forget the consequence of our sin? What theologically? What are we talking about there? Does He forget? Okay. And along with that, I got some other questions for you. Okay. Is it psychologically possible to forget?
As a human?
Yeah. Is it psychologically possible to just truly forget, okay, like it never happened? And the third question is, can it be emotionally devastating to us to forget, you know, to just absolutely forget, you know? Do you understand the question? You know,
I'll try. I'll jump in there a little bit. Okay. I don't think it's psychologically possible to forget.
Okay.
For me, it's like when I haven't forgiven, that thing is right there in front of me. Mm-hmm. And it's consuming my attention and my energy and my focus and blocking me from loving. But when I forgive and it goes to the past, 5 years from now, I'm not thinking about it at all. And you say to me, do you remember that time when Jeannie did that? And I, oh yeah, I remember that time, but I hadn't thought about it in years. Mm-hmm. It has no hold on me because I've forgiven it.
That's
because
right.
I've let it go.
Grip is
for me, that whole thing about God, and that's the Sermon on the Mount, that Matthew 6:14, where Jesus says, if you do not forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. To me, that's not not salvation. I think that's your heart has a swinging door on it. Mm-hmm. And so if you lock it so that you don't release forgiveness to others, it's also locked so that God's forgiveness can't enter into you. Man. It's extended to you. It's offered to you. It's available to you. But because of the hardness of your heart, you can't receive it. You're so bitter about someone or something, you can't even receive the goodness and the grace of God. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's not salvation. That's just living in a state of, you know, miserable, whatever.
I know a lot of really angry and upset believers.
Yep.
I can't let go of things.
So bitter about things.
That are true.
So it's relational then. It's relationship. The restoration of a relationship. To forgive others. Okay.
So
for non-forgiveness, I think it eats you up inside. If you were unable or unwilling to forgive, that's going to affect you, the individual who is, as Clint Eastwood's movie would say, unforgiven. If you can't forgive others, it's going to hurt you more than it is those that you're trying to, you know, forgive. Now, going back to Mother Teresa, I found it. This was written on the wall in Mother Teresa's home for the children in Calcutta. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of selfish ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you'll win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway.
That's what she said.
That's good.
I got to say,
she was a moral lady.
This is a miracle for me because my biggest weakness is trying to find scripture. So, but I was helped by the biggest but in the Bible. So to me, that's in Ephesians 2, and it's like 3 to 10. So let me just read the but. So 3, we too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead and trespassing. You are saved by his grace. He also raised us with him and seated us with him in the heavens, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable richness of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are all saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, meaning not from your works. It's God's gift, not from works, but God's gift, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. So that was the but that it always strikes me as we're this way, but just by his grace.
Yeah.
It erases all that we were before.
Yeah.
Everything, when the people use the word but, it just erased everything you just said. I'm so sorry for this. And then you say, but boom, it just got deleted.
That's so, right. That's
yeah.
Right.
And that's what God did with our lives. All of our sins were just deleted through Jesus.
Amen. I got one more question. How many times should you forgive somebody?
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
Wait, aren't we supposed to ask you guys the question?
I'm going to answer it. Yeah.
It's like 7 times 7 times 70 or something crazy, right?
Oh, that's the church answer.
Like 490 would be 7 times 490.
Well, you see how I feel about it.
Yeah. Now, what do y'all think? How many times?
For me, it's not. It's discernment, right? It's the thing between discernment and forgiveness, right? So, at some point, you have to discern this behavior that they're exhibiting is not going to go away. It's not safe for you, right? So I don't know that it's about forgiveness per se. It's just discerning that I've forgiven you and I've loved you and I continue to love you unconditionally if you can, and you still do these things and it's not safe for me, or it's not going to go away. And I don't know how many times you want to do that before.
Yeah, you have to draw some boundaries then. Yeah. But let me just think.
Go back to Tank's
car.
Not Tank's car, but Rob's car.
Rob. Okay, Rob. So Rob scratched, he's keyed my car. So
I didn't.
I called the police.
That would be my ex.
Yes, I did.
His beloved car.
I've called the police, and they're going to come arrest him, and he's going to spend the night in jail. So he's going to pay the consequence, but I'm going to forgive it. I totally forgive him, but he still has to pay.
Because you need to be free.
Right, because I need to be free. And then tomorrow, I go out, and I look at my car in the daylight, and I see what he wrote in my car when he scratched on it. And so I have to forgive him again. I take it to the body shop and I find out how long it's going to take and how much it's going to take to fix it. I get angry and I have to forgive him again. And then I get an old hoopty to drive that the air conditioner doesn't work here in Texas. And so every time I get in it, I forgive him again. I get home and my remote control to open the garage door is back in the body shop in my other car. So I can't get in my house, so I forgive him again, right? And then when I pick it up, the paint doesn't match. You see what I'm saying? You forgive, even if it's the same offense, forgive it over and over and over until you're free. And like today, I can be free of it, but it can come back on me tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a one
it's
and done kind
it
of thing.
And forgive it again.
Yeah, so sometimes that's kind of when people say, I'm in the process of forgiving. Forgiving is a decision, and today I can forgive.
Once only you forgive, and then
the process is healing. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes with the healing, it comes back on me, and I have to forgive it again. At least that's been our experience.
You know, it's brilliant psychology that Christ gave us, but it's not easy.
No.
I mean, it's healing hard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What would happen if you're 2001 Corvette, not that this could have happened to someone I know, was keyed from the front to the back in 2001 and you just never had it fixed? Because if you hadn't had it fixed, all those things wouldn't happen.
Yeah, then you got to forgive the mechanics who probably overcharged you.
Right,
it's
so
in my driveway.
I never had it fixed. I still have a racing stripe on one side of my car.
There you go.
20 years.
Oh, God.
And so
I was just on the thinking it's time
you know
to
what
get
you
got
go, a lot of great empathy. It's on the passenger side. So when you pull up and someone on the right of you goes, "Oh my God, what?" Just an X. And they like, "Okay." So you get sympathy points, but yeah, I just, you made me like flash back.
Stephanie, you have to live with him.
Yeah,
babe, I think it's time for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Well, no, I forgave her back then. It just was, you know, that was. Apparently, I had two things I cared about. One was my car, and the other was water polo. Mm-hmm. And so she scarred my car, and she couldn't hurt water polo. So,
yeah. But that's a great point. That's what we do, right? We hurt. We go where we know.
And God, I hope she's not on this thing.
Right? But isn't that true? You guys probably.
That's not Nancy, who's also not here, but yeah. It wasn't her. Yeah.
So, yeah. How do you do it? How do you forgive?
I just understand. I mean, I understood her pain. I, you know, the happy moms, happy kids for me. So going through a divorce that was 8 years long, I just made sure she was as supported as best I could. And then the courts determined, because that's what she wanted to do, what things were going to be. And so, you know, it's in a happy middle somewhere, which then costs all the attorney's costs, which is a loss for everybody. But I just wanted, you know, I made sure she was happy so the kids were happy, but there was no way I could make her happy. So, yeah.
To forgive somebody, does that mean that we cease looking for justice?
Good question, Paul.
Does that mean?
So.
That is a good question. Let me think about that.
Yeah.
No, because, okay, listen to what Cliff said. Rob went to jail. Rob had to have a natural consequence for the action.
Right.
Cliff's forgiving him in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you have to look at it from either a legal standpoint or the spiritual biblical standpoint. Legally, well, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't comment on that. From the spiritual biblical standpoint, you know, that's a different, well, I think you'll get two different answers.
Here's a follow-up question. Whose vengeance is it, you know?
Exactly.
Eye for an eye.
You know, what's the scripture said? You know,
eye for an eye.
Says God, you know, and it's really tough to let it go and let God deal with it. I mean, it is. I mean, are some things about our humanness. I just think we have to keep in perspective this marvelous thing of grace that God's given to us, that, you know, there, but by God go I, you know, I mean, we just do that. I'm sure I trample on people often enough without ever realizing I've done it, you know, with no desire to do that.
Right.
But, and to live in that kind of grace, that takes a big handout from the Holy Spirit, you know, to be able to do that. When you were doing your devotions today, did y'all turn to the book of Titus? Have you ever turned to the book of Titus?
Yes. Yeah. Yes,
because there's scripture on being a good woman.
Yeah.
And there's also scripture on how to handle pastors or teachers.
Yeah. Well, it says in Titus, and I got this from the Message. I think it's so good. Eugene Peterson, he said, it wasn't long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn and easy marks for sin and ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior, God stepped in, he saved us from all that. And it was all his doing, and we had nothing to do with it, you know. And to live that kind of understanding, you know, what a grace gift, you know, to extend it. But if you keep punching me in the nose, I got to back up. I got to have a boundary. I can forgive you, you know, but that doesn't mean I'm going to walk up and say, hit me again, because that's just painful stuff, you know, I think.
Yeah, I think.
You don't make it easy for the offender to hurt you again.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I live in an open carry state, but that's a separate issue.
What if that person doesn't know that they've offended you? Let's say I'm walking into a class or getting ready for a seminar. And I'm walking in, and I know my drill is up next, so I will stand up, and I'll be the one directing that. Now then, I see out of the corner of my eye, let's say Lisa's over there in the corner, and I wave at her to say hi, and she's looking at me, but really she's not. She's checking to make sure the slides are up for me. And so I'm immediately offended, saying, I waved to her, and she didn't acknowledge that, you know, how rude, before we get started. That sort of thing. She has no idea. So I don't have to go to her and say, you know what? You really made me angry, but I got to forgive you. No, no, no. That's a little bit, oh, I'm so cool, aren't I? Forgiving her frees me from all that space in my head that is filled with negativity.
Give her grace.
And it also, well, that's why I'm trying to build on that too. Yeah. You don't always have to walk up to the person and say, I need to forgive you for, because they'll say, for what? You know, hey, you know, you're insane. That sort of thing. And then you've got this big ball going after you. The point I think I'm trying to make, and I'm probably bumbling over it, help me please if I do, is that forgiveness is a choice. It is a choice to free you up and free up space so that you can breathe
in love,
in love and in grace. And then also you don't expect anything in return, because the healing is takes place. And that's why before the 20th year in our marriage, I don't even remember. Cliff was driving home and he was talking to me, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I have let this whole thing go. And I see him so clearly and so differently than I did before. And that completely flipped and changed our marriage. So forgiveness was a huge part of it for me. But like Paul was saying, you don't walk up and let somebody smack you in the face every time you turn around. No, you set your proper boundaries. And if that person is a safe person for you, then you kind of bring them in a little bit, but they have to keep proving. When in a relationship, you give your trust to that person once freely, and if that is broken, then it is their job. It's your job to forgive, but it's their job to re-earn that trust. Mm-hmm. And that builds the relationship. So just speaking for my own, it was Cliff's job to build that. He had the power to build that trust in me back up, which he stood into the...
And by the way, what I did wouldn't have ended our relationship necessarily, but her unforgiveness would have.
Would have. There you go.
And that doesn't seem fair. But that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Isn't that how it normally goes down, is that someone is just so hurt or they can't have that trust anymore, whatever, really, even not even in a marriage, whatever type of relationship, that's what really severs it. It's sad, but
yeah.
You know, I want to jump in with a capper on this too. We've run out of time, but you know, I think the older we get, but that was so good what y'all just said. The older we get, we look in the rearview mirror, and sometimes we've had so many things happen in our lives, we just stop the car, turn around, and look out the back window, because we really got so much stuff back there, except for Paul. But we look back, looking back at these things in life, and I make light of it, but not really, because, you know, I think God created us in such a way that we need to remember a couple of simple things. The older I get, the bigger the banner is that says, remember this, Joe, because you're not thinking. One is, my call in life is to be Christ-like. And my call is to follow the steps, like Ephesians 2 says, before the foundation of the world, he planned my steps. My call every day is to just walk in those steps. Half the time, I think they're cool. The other half, I'm saying, you got to be kidding. But those are the steps that God puts there, and I don't understand them sometimes. But the fact of the matter is this. When I try to figure out, Lord, help me to figure out, am I supposed to forgive? I mean, all the scriptures, all the things you're saying are so real and so true. But sometimes I get to the place where I have to say, I got to put my mind, like Paul says in Philippians 2, like the mind of Jesus. I've got to see Christ hanging on the cross. And I've got to remember, like Rob said, and you guys are sharing, to forgive them, because I don't understand everything about them. Like Gene Rich just said to you, I don't understand all of what is going on. I never will understand it all, probably. I may have some ideas about it, but the biggest word in my vocabulary that I try to ditch all the time is speculation. I can speculate, and sometimes I know pompous Christians who speculate out of their pompatuity. There's no such word, but didn't that sound good, Paul? Out of their pompous, I have all these answers. And they never hold water. They're not even a glass. And, you know, I can look back, like in one of my chapters in the book, people who I look up to, nuh-uh. But there's one person I can look up to. It's like Cliff was saying. It's the person who says, you know, I don't have the answers to all of them, but I do have the Lord in my heart, and I know this. And like I used to tell single adults, out of 600 or 800 of them at one time back in the church where I was singles pastor, they were really hurting. And I think about my life and all of you guys. I love you guys. And you stop and think about it. How much harder was it for me, Jesus said, to hang on the cross than it was for you to face through me what I'm about to give to you? So if I think how much harder it was for him, and my call is to be like Christ, all of a sudden it doesn't seem as hard as it is to say, hey, that's okay. Because the last thing I want to share quickly, this point came to mind, I think it's Colossians 2, 9 and 10. The single said, Pastor Joe, what's the word we should use? What's the verse? Well, the very greatest verse I know is like Christ on the cross says to me, Colossians 2, 9 and 10. It's not my identity. It's not who I make myself. It's not how much I learn. It's not this or the other. It's who I am in Christ. I am complete in Christ. Who's what? The head of all power and all authority. Okay, I'll step back. I don't get this one, but as you show me, Lord, I'll do the best I can to respond as I think you would. Well, I got to be careful. I get wound up on this stuff. But you know, it's so true what you're saying. Cliff and Jeannie Beth, that is awesome what you've been sharing. Paul, thank everybody. I mean, we just get real where we live. That's why I love you guys. My co-hosts on the show, yeah, I love you people. You are so special. You speak to me all the time. You're head of all power and principality. So we've got about 3.5 minutes, and I'm going to say the one line. I'm going to hold my sign up again, and we'll go signing off. And if I don't get to it at that point, love you, Cliff. Love you, Jeannie Beth. Love all of you. What a great thing you brought. Anybody want to jump in there? We've got 3 minutes. Go.
You know, normally I'd not jump in because I'm really reticent and shy, and I don't talk much. In the big picture, in the big scheme of things, and this really was driven home when I was reading Dante's Divine Comedy, when he finally reached the top of Paradiso, after being down in the Inferno and Purgatorio. Remember when you were a little kid, if you did go to church, and you would sing a song, praise him, all ye little children, God is love, God is love.
Yes.
The top of Paradiso is God, and God is love.
Man.
And that's something, again, I think we all forget, because ultimately the Bible is about love, God's love for his people, God's love for us, and Christ dying for us was out of love. And I think that's something people need to remember more than almost anything else, more than memorizing, you know, biblical verses and everything else. It's all about love, God's love for us, in spite of our shortcomings and our sinful nature.
Makes us complete. Makes us complete in Christ Jesus. Anybody else? Amen.
Let me just add one thing. So just before my grandmother died, she said the following. It seems like we're built, made of units of love. And I'm like, okay, I'm a scientist. Quantum love? It just bent my mind. Think about that. We're made up of units of love.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Great creator.
I've got a challenge. Give me one good reason not to forgive.
I don't want to break the heart of Jesus. Yeah, go ahead.
Not to forgive. You'll be miserable if you don't.
All my answers are selfish. Yeah. So there's that.
It's a pain. I don't want to. I don't want to admit it. Yeah.
Risky. I might get hurt again pride. If I let him in. If I take my wall down. Yeah. No good reasons.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, where'd the time go? Hey, folks, if you can help us stay on the air with you, here it is right here. If you can see it, that's the website for you to go to. I hope you can see it, okay? BBSradio.com, Raising Expectations. There's a donation button there. And we'll forgive you if you don't donate, but anyway. I just want you to know that. There's no problem.
That was well played, Pastor Joe.
If we're going to stay on, you're going to have to help us out.
But remember, by the grace of God, if you don't.
Yeah.
Everybody's showing you.
That's the Catholic in me right there, baby.
Everybody show them your keys, so we don't want to come after your cars. No, just hey, we love you all. It's great to be with you.
Enjoy your night in jail, Rob.
Thank God.
Thanks so much. It is 55 at the hour. We're going to have to leave now. And love you guys. Thanks for tuning in tonight on our program. And Cliff and Jeannie Beth, we love you. Thanks for being with us. You guys are the best. Boy, every one of you. Tank, Rob, Stephanie, good niece, Paul. Love you guys, okay? And everybody out there, raise your expectation, because there's somebody up there, his name's the Lord. He's ready to lift you beyond anything you could believe. So don't try to find all the answers. So you listen to what he says about it. All right. We'll see you later. We're signing off. Good to be with you, ladies.
Take care, you guys.
Bye, y'all.
Good night. Goodbye.
Thanks, David, Judy.
It's been fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.